La 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 la. This is my stop. Got to get off. You know that song?
Nope.
No?
Is it about a train?
No.
A bus?
It's the theme song to Daria.
Oh.
La 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 la. Have you seen Daria?
In the 90s when it was on MTV?
Yes.
I saw it like on TV.
Oh, okay.
A handful of times. My parents mostly had MTV blocked until the later high school years.
Yeah, mine did too. Actually, they didn't have it blocked. They just told me I couldn't watch it, and I was so good.
That was enough?
That it was enough.
Aw.
And I would, like, feel guilty when I would go to sleepovers, and they would have it on, and I felt the need to confess. Like, that's what I was like when I was 12. Eyes. Yeah.
Were you raised religiously?
No, I was just raised, like, you do what your parents tell you.
Hmm.
And I, for whatever reason, that, like, stuck with me. You for a while.
Even threatened with burning in hell for disobedience?
No. Wow. I wasn't. Were you?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic.
Hmm.
There's a lot of shame.
You have Catholic
and
guilt?
Oh, yeah.
People tell me about that.
Mm-hmm. Shame and guilt and yeah.
Hmm.
Eh. It wasn't boring.
No.
All right, so the second portion of the podcast, we go through a series of mini segments, little
vignettes.
Like the salad dressing?
Keep going.
So yeah, little segments. Some of them are games, some of them are just, well, we'll get into it. You'll see. So the first segment we have here is the intern segment. In previous episodes, I've been talking about how I need to get an intern for the show to help with the production and the editing and the publishing and all like the graphics and stuff, the tweeters and the everything that goes into making a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we whenever I have a guest on, we'll brainstorm, like went through what the ad should say, what an ideal candidate would be, like the qualities that they would have. And so we've been getting resumes in, and I started interviewing people this week, but it hasn't been going well. And I don't know if it's because I'm asking the wrong questions or what's going on here. So I was wondering if maybe you could give me some suggestions for the type of questions I should be asking in these interviews. And they're typically college kids looking to get some work experience. It's an unpaid internship position because the budget for this show is
minimal.
Non-existent.
Right.
Practically. This is an employer's market, I believe. They don't have experience, so they're gaining something valuable.
Right.
And yeah, I'm just wondering, like,
so let me ask what has been the like what's been wrong with the candidates you've had so far?
Everything. Attitude. A lot of it. Getting a lot of attitude.
Mm-hmm. Like do you feel like they want to have creative control?
A little bit.
Like too many suggestions, and you're like, excuse me,
yeah,
this is not the intern show, this is the grand cast.
Yeah,
and
they just need to be executing the production,
right? The mission statement.
Yeah,
not some grand vision they have,
contaminating it with their flavor.
Oof.
But it's hard to convey in a legal fashion.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to say come just devoid of all creative opinions, but that's really what you want to say.
That's what I want to get, but without saying it. So I don't know, like, how to screen for that type of candidate.
Have you tried getting people who are a little bit more vapid?
Maybe like emos?
Yeah.
Is that a thing still?
I don't know. I don't know many emos, so it might not be a thing.
Well, Fall Out Boy is still a band, so there's got to be some out there somewhere.
That's true.
Maybe I could pass out like flyers at a Fall Out Boy concert. Mm-hmm. You think that would be a good source for?
Yeah, I think candidates? You're just looking for people who have a strong sense of apathy.
Hmm. But how do you get them motivated to apply? I guess I should make the process extremely simple, right?
Well, I think people are motivated by free things.
Hmm.
So if you advertise the free beer, like you just gave me, you would, I mean...
They would have to be motivated to get beer.
Oh, I don't think that's a problem. Even among the apathy crowd.
A lot of it, too... It's an age thing because they're college kids. Not a lot of them are 21. And
you don't want to be liable?
And I'm probably already violating labor laws, and I don't need to add fuel to that fire.
Hmm. Well, what if you move to an older age range? What if instead of college kids, and then you went just real old? You went you went to the older crowd.
Like seniors.
Like senior citizens.
They don't have the technology experience that I need generally. Maybe.
Some of them do. I mean, I'm just thinking this is maybe an untapped.
Maybe one of at the adult education center where they're already learning valuable skills like how to copy and paste and open emails.
Exactly. And, you know, they have these cribbage matches.
Oh, I love cribbage.
And
that would be a nice perk if I could play cribbage with the intern.
Yeah.
Huh.
Poker, rum. Rummy, right? That's a card game? Rum, oh, yeah. Rummy?
Rum?
Rummy.
That would probably go over better with the college crowd.
Right.
Yeah. Or pirates. Are they apathetic?
No.
I feel like the captain is highly motivated and the crew's kind of...
They
apathetic.
Are apathetic except for treasure. I think that is there.
I could tease them, maybe have a map on the wall and not mention it during the interview, just to pique their curiosity.
Or you could say that being a part of this podcast is the treasure.
Maybe at the end, when they're expecting to receive something.
Yeah.
I could offer them a share in the bounty. Give them I don't know how you quantify shares in pirate bounty terms.
Do you have stocks in this company? I mean, is this...
No, I'm thinking more of the traditional...
Has the Grandcast gone IPO?
Not yet. That's a good idea. I'll need to research this. That would be a good way to raise funds.
Mm-hmm.
Because Snapchat just went IPO and... They're $20-30 billion, something crazy.
I think it's a good way to raise funds. I also think it's a good way to lose funds. Because if people want to cash those stocks in, then...
I wonder if there's a non-cashable form of IPO.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can get stocks that aren't vested. I'm not really sure how that works. I know the words. Vesting and things like that, but...
Like vestments?
Mm-hmm.
Vestibules?
Mm-hmm.
The clothing article? Article of clothing? Is clothing article a vest?
Yeah.
So I can make the intern wear a vest, and then they would be vested?
Yes. And that's also, vests I think are kind of emo.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so then they would probably be apathetic too.
So I could ask them how they would feel about wearing vests.
So you can sort people by whether or not they wear vests. And I think that would hit all of your criteria.
Hmm.
You can put in your ad, if you regularly wear vests, please come and intern for the Grandcast.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good filter. All right. The next segment is called Read Me NPR. So I have an excerpt of an NPR article here.
Mm-hmm.
that I would like for you to read, please, in the style of an NPR host. So you probably want to get nice and close to the microphone and then do like a quieter, softer kind of.
Do you want me to read the title?
It's up to you.
Okay. Do showers make oranges taste better? NPR investigates. Here are the claims. Oranges taste better in the shower. Eating oranges in the shower will make you happy. The shower orange experience could turn your entire life around. To sort fact from fiction, the White House correspondent, Scott Horsley, science editor Jeff Brumfile, and all-around genius Sam Sanders stepped into shower stalls at NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters. We wanted a diversity of expertise and opinions on the matter. Then they ate some oranges. Here's what they learned. What kind of oranges work best? Producer Graham Smith supplied three kinds of oranges: navel oranges, blood oranges, and clementines. All three appeared to work fine, although the blood orange reminded Scott of the shower scene in Psycho. You're in the shower with an orange. Now what? Peel it. Sam tried to put the peels in the soap dish. Jeff dropped his on the floor. Some Reddit users advocate biting through the skin, but come on, this is NPR. We peel our oranges. Mm-hmm. Does the shower orange taste better? Jeff says, yes, absolutely. I ate half the orange in the shower and finished the other half outside the stall. There was a discernible difference. Scott says, for me, the smell was more intense. The taste wasn't terribly different. Scott. And finally, Sam says, the orange did not taste better. It did smell better. But I couldn't focus on any of that because I was too worried about whether seeds were going to clog the drain, where I was going to put the peels, and what I was going to do with that orange juice stain on the shower curtain. And finally, did eating an orange in the shower change your life? Jeff tells us, not really, but it made me happy in the moment. I'd do it again. Scott says, I don't think showering with an orange in the privacy of my home would be life-changing, but doing so on national radio certainly was. And Sam concludes, this event was not life-changing. It was annoying.
Thank you. Would you like... It's a peanut butter-filled pretzel, unsalted, from Trader Joe's.
I would not. Thank you, though, for the offer.
I should have asked if you were allergic to peanuts before I ate those.
I could have been...
Aided those? Oh, my goodness.
Ugh.
Aided?
Ugh. This interview is done. I'm gone. Oh, was that real loud? Probably. It's fine.
Yeah.
Was that good? Was that what you wanted?
Absolutely.
It kept going. At first I thought that was a real thing.
Hmm?
Was that real?
Yeah.
It was real?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was from the NPR website.
Oh, I thought you made that up.
No, I'm not that creative.
Oh.
Thank you for your confidence in my creative abilities.
Well, kind words are my forte.
So. Oh. This next segment is called Guess My Number. Hmm. So I need you to try to guess. You have one chance to guess my number. It is greater than or equal to the number 1 and less than or equal to 1 million.
24.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. The next segment is called...
Do I get to find out what it was? Was I close?
Maybe eventually.
Ugh.
The next segment is called Roll the Dice. So I have 3 6-sided dice here.
They're very colorful.
They are. They're from Boof Rummy with Dice, card game that I made. Or not a card game, a dice game that I made.
You made?
Yeah.
Like you created it?
I did. I'll give you a copy.
Okay.
So I'm going to roll these three dice.
Okay.
And then add them up. And I need you to guess ahead of time whether it's going to be even or odd.
Okay. Right now? Or after they've been rolled?
What would you prefer?
I'm just going to go ahead right now and say odd.
Okay.
Nine. Pretty good.
You got it.
Pretty good.
The listening audience will enjoy knowing the result.
Nine,
which is odd, I think. Not prime, unfortunately.
Not prime.
You don't get the bonus points. The next segment is called Improvise and Add Four. Oh, I have dot, dot, dot. I need to change my records. I'm using the Heller ellipsis now, which is only two dots, because it saves time and ink, and it's just generally more efficient for humanity. It's an initiative started by Josh Heller.
I was going to say, I was going to wonder if Josh had something to do with that.
Oh, yeah. He is the...
The founder?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm on board.
No?
No.
What's holding you back from accepting the Heller ellipsis?
I think muscle memory in my finger would prevent me from just hitting it twice.
That can be overcome. It takes, I think, 30 days to form a new habit.
I mean, do you trust a vegan to know what's best for you?
I trust Josh.
Ugh, me too. Fine. Give it a try.
That's all you can ask of anyone. Thank you for your open-mindedness.
Thank you for your willingness to teach me a better way.
And thank you, Josh, for creating the Heller ellipsis in... potentially saving humanity.
He's a stand-up guy. I feel like we're kind of talking just to Josh in this podcast.
Sometimes.
And maybe Tom.
And Matt M. Well, I am. You don't know Matt.
I don't know Matt, but I do know Sean M.
Yeah. You can talk about his shoes. He wears nice shoes.
Sean does?
Mm-hmm.
He wears generally nice clothes. He's like very snappy.
Very fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very well fitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like he's got a tailor for a friend.
Does he?
I don't know. Would that surprise you?
I haven't asked. Do you think he has a cobbler? Are they like custom shoes?
I also wouldn't be surprised.
Do you think he has a Cooper?
Like a car? The car? Like a Mini Cooper?
Like a person that makes some barrels?
Oh. I didn't know that's what a barrel maker was called.
Yeah. There's not too many around anymore, but I feel like if you have a cobbler, you might also have a Cooper.
I mean, he might, like, make whiskey in his basement. In Maybe. Which case, he would need a Cooper.
Yeah. Who knows? He's a man of mystery.
He is.
I got the spider plant in the kitchen that is variegated, which is, it has the white stripes on the green leaves. It's a little plant term I've picked up in my plant experience.
Yeah.
I got that. His girlfriend has quite large spider plants with many babies. So I got one of the babies from him.
That's cute.
Yeah. Spider plants are supposed to be... NASA did a study of houseplants and their impacts on the air quality. And spider plants are one of the best at removing things like formaldehyde from the air in your living space. But you're supposed to have some crazy number, like 70 spider plants for a every 1,000 square feet or something.
We have three, right?
Me?
Yeah. Oh, you have a lot.
One, two, three, four, five, six, plus whatever's in the kitchen, probably another three.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Nine spider plants. And the one over there has a baby. They pop out long stems that grow babies on the end, and then you just snip them off and put them in water until the roots sprout, and then you got another spider plant.
That's adorable. And also kind of weird, but I like it.
Would you like one?
I would not keep it alive.
They're pretty resilient.
I have enough living things in my life I'm trying to keep alive, so.
Fair enough.
Every day that my children are alive at the end of the day is a big victory, so.
I feel the same way about my spider plants.
Oh, well, we're the same then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, coming back from a short technical difficulty break. My microphone spazzed out because the cable fell out, basically. So we're back at the segment, improvise an ad for .. Planned Parenthood, please.
Full disclosure, I did this once.
She did, and it was fantastic.
And it was lost.
It'll be in the vault. As an outtake.
An outtake?
Yeah, there's probably 20 minutes of Mike Nichols talking. That was an outtake.
I'm shocked.
Due to a technical difficulty.
I'm shocked.
Josh has had an entire episode that was basically, it's in the vault, unheard by mortal ears.
Well, I guess I got off easy then.
Yeah, 3 minutes, and you'll have a little piece of history in the vault once it gets released.
Great. Well, thank you for listening to KWXYZ 100.5 FM, also 100.5 AM. We are the same station. I'm here to tell you a little bit about Planned Parenthood. They are a Grand Rapids, Michigan-based improv troupe. They specialize in the Spokane, which is a form that if you enjoy the show Family Guy, you will enjoy this. There is no question, there is no reason to believe that you would not love Planned Parenthood, based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Recently, they've decided to maybe dabble in sketch. I like sketch, and I also like the word dabble, so this is going to be a match made in heaven. The four members of Planned Parenthood are Andy Cash, Josh Heller, Tom Hunt, and Sean McGinnity, which happens to be the same name as mysterious Sean M. we've been talking about throughout the episode. I don't know if one day these two people might meet, but that would be also a match made in heaven. Thank you for listening to KWXYZ 100. I think I said 5. Might have said 4. Doesn't matter. Thank you for listening. Catch you on the Planned Parenthood.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, sure. You can do what you will with that.
It'll be on radio locally very soon. This next segment is called Affirmation, where I give my guests an affirmation. So, Kristen, I really enjoy your wry, dry sense of humor. I find it very funny and enjoy that calm. And I appreciate how you have assumed a leadership role and have been a positive influence on Planned Parenthood as their coach. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Have you heard of the love languages?
Like ways that people express their appreciation for each other?
More like ways people accept love. So there's like quality time, gifts. I don't remember them all. Anyway, words of affirmation is one of them. And it's mine. It's one of mine. So thank you.
Love languages?
Yeah, you should write that down. You should give yourself a little notepad.
I just have stacks of papers.
There's supposedly 7 of them.
Seven?
Mm-hmm. 7 love languages. I don't remember what they are. I know some of them.
All right, the next segment is called Member. It's a nostalgia segment. And I would like to know, what is something that you remember fondly from your childhood, other than watching Nick at Night sneakily?
Something fondly I remember. I had a pretty good childhood, so there's a lot. I fondly remember Lisa Frank.
Rainbows and unicorns and dolphins. Notebooks and erasers and pencils. And
yep, you know.
Oh, yeah, I have 2 younger sisters, so.
So you were all about the Lisa Frank, at least and tangentially?
And the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
And the Beanie Babies.
And the, oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. One time, I found, this was before Craigslist and everything like that, so I found somebody selling the Peace Beanie Baby. It was a bear with a peace sign. Mm-hmm.
I haven't.
You haven't?
Mm-hmm. Not here, but.
I found someone selling one in the newspaper.
Oh.
And I begged my mom to go get this Beanie Baby. And I think it wasn't cheap. I think it was like $50.
Ooh.
Which back then was a lot of money. Yeah. But I really wanted this. So we met this woman in this parking lot and did this exchange.
On like a newspaper classified ad?
Mm-hmm. I think it was the Bargain Corner.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I remember hunting in there for a Nintendo 64 back in the day. Like begging my parents. Eventually we went to, it was like an apartment on the, like the south side of town or something, and got a Nintendo 64 with Mario, Super Mario 64, and to my parents' chagrin, Turok Dinosaur Hunter, which was violent. They didn't like that.
Mm.
But Mario, oh man.
I often hunted the Bargain Corner for televisions because my friend Sarah had a TV in her room. Ooh. With a Nintendo hooked up to it.
Wow.
And the idea of like sitting in bed playing video games was like, it blew my mind.
That's so baller.
Yeah. So I wanted one so bad, and like I could never find one that we could afford. But I looked every week in the Bargain Corner. I looked.
Hmm.
I guess that wasn't a happy note to end it on. I never got my dream TV.
Oh. Well, more positively, the next segment is called Looking Forward. What is something that you are most looking forward to in the future?
That's pretty broad.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty broad. Well, I'm trying to live in the moment more.
Mm.
Because I think we get, as humans, we like get sucked into looking way too far in the past or way too far ahead. So I'm really trying to keep it immediate.
Hmm.
So therefore, I will say, I think we haven't bought the tickets yet, but I think in April, we might go back to California for a trip. So I'm looking forward to that. Seeing old friends, catching some new improv from all the places I used to go.
Yeah. That does sound nice.
It does.
Yeah, I think it's a Chinese proverb about how if you feel depression, you're living in the past. If you feel anxiety, you're living in the future. If you feel happiness, you're living in the present.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. It's an interesting way to think things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes recognizing that whatever mood you're in might just be what you're thinking about. Hmm. Next segment is plug your social media in upcoming events. So if there's any social media accounts or websites or anything that you'd like to mention.
There are. Can I get my phone out?
No.
Well, I'm doing it, so.
Oh, okay.
Because I...
Oh, I shouldn't have said no. I'm sorry. I negated your premise. I'm still so new to improv.
You're still learning.
Breaking the basic rules. Ugh. Yes, you may take your phone out.
Yes,
and...
Yeah, I feel like we always have stuff coming out. Actually, I wish I would have brought... I recently switched over to a paper planner. Like an actual, like, you have to write in it with a pen. Because I just...
So vintage.
And I wasn't trying to be vintage. I wasn't trying to be, like, hipster cool. I was just...
It's like retro cool now.
I was just... It's so much easier for me. Because I feel like when I actually write it, then it's not so hard for me to remember.
Hmm. I feel like maybe this is one of those things I should provide to guests ahead of time.
Possibly.
Yeah. I'll write that down.
So, I mean, social media. If you go to wearefunnygirls.com, that's the funny girls.
Just the letter R, right?
No, this one is actually the word.
Oh.
Yeah, it kind of switches up a little bit because, you know, domain names and things like that, what's available. But this one is actually wearefunnygirls.com. And that will tell you all about Funny Girls and what shows we have coming up and how to contact us. And then from there, you can... find all our other social media, Twitter and Facebook and things like that. And then as far as shows that are coming up, we have a Laugh Fest show on the 13th, March 13th at Dog Story for No Outlet.
Free entrance?
Free entrance, I believe.
7 p.m.?
7 p.m.
Eastern time?
Eastern time. Is it free?
Yeah.
Yes, it is free. I am looking at the event right now.
I believe that there's a suggested donation to Gildas Club. And if you donate, I think it's $5, you get a button. If I'm remembering correctly.
I don't see anything about the button, but everything else you said is right. I'm sorry, I didn't cough into the microphone that time. And then, so that one's for No Outlet, and then on the 17th is the Funny Girls Laugh Fest show.
Where's that at?
That is here in Grand Rapids.
Oh, for a second I thought you meant here, like my
apartment.
You're
in your apartment.
Nobody told me. I'll have to talk to the intern about that, booking things without informing me.
This is actually kind of a fun space. Are there rules about, like, what you can do here?
Probably, but I don't know what they are, so it doesn't matter.
Like, if you wanted to get rid of all your furniture and turn this into a comedic venue, could you do that?
Probably for a brief period of time, and then I would get evicted.
Mm-hmm.
The noise between the floors is... I mean, the floors are concrete, but noise travels upward, and the neighbors above me would probably be very displeased.
So there actually is a Funny Girls show at Calm this Monday, March 6th. And then I know the information for the Laugh Fest show, I just want to make sure. So I'm going to keep looking for it because I really want to just make sure.
Yeah.
So that all the people listening don't get the wrong information.
I'm going to shuffle some papers so it's not complete silence. Yeah. So people shuffle, don't think their phone's disconnected.
I mean, that happened to me.
That they're getting a phone call or something. And that was actually the last segment that we're doing. Oh, no, it's not. There's one more. I had checked it off, but we haven't done it yet, so.
We can do it if you want.
While you're...
Oh, well, I'm... Okay. I'll finish this.
Distract you from your event looking up. I wonder if a paper planner would be more rapidly accessible.
It would be. I wish I had it. I actually almost brought it because I'm trying to do this thing where I carry it around with me. But then sometimes I carry it around for like a week and I don't use it. So I'm like, what's the point? Shuffle, 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 shuffle. Why do you do this, Chris Nichols?
I don't know.
What's your motivation?
I felt compelled to do it towards the end of last year. And I had most of the equipment I needed. I just needed the second microphone. And I had started driving for my job a lot, so I had a lot of time to listen to podcasts, whereas before I went through a phase where I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast very frequently, but that was like the late aughts or the early tens. So quite a while ago before like the big explosion in podcasting. So I had never really listened to comedy podcasts that much. And then I'd been watching the Comedy Bang Bang TV show on Netflix. And then I got a ride from Sean Francis one night, and he had Paul F. Tompkins, one of his stand-up albums playing, which I really enjoyed, and I wasn't that familiar with Paul F. Tompkins. So then I went on Paul F. Tompkins binge, and I listened to all his albums, which are available on Amazon Prime Music, and I watched his stand-up special on... I think it was on YouTube, like a pirated one. I probably shouldn't admit to that on recorded audio, but there it is. It was on YouTube. I don't feel like I did anything wrong.
Do you do any of your own comedy? Like, is your interest strictly fan-based?
I feel like pretty much real life is... improv comedy. I don't like being on a stage in front of people, but I enjoy applying the lessons of improv comedy in my daily interactions with people.
I mean, I feel like really every conversation is an improv scene, right?
Yeah. So, I think, I've watched a lot of stand-up comedy. I think that format is more appealing to me if I were to ever try performing in front of people. And also, I did a live streaming on Twitch TV, like playing video games and commenting and having like a webcam feed as I'm playing. So it's all live content, improvised, in front of a camera, not in front of a live audience. I don't know, maybe it's like the immediate reaction from people. I don't know if maybe I'm apprehensive about that. It's just the format isn't as appealing to me as, like, I'm more comfortable in something like this where it's a one-on-one conversation. And maybe people listen to it. Maybe people, like, even if we did this live, like, I wouldn't be getting the immediate reaction. But Twitch was live. And I was getting immediate reactions. So I don't know. I don't know what aspect of being on stage in front of people is less appealing to me than other forms of creative expression.
That's fine. It's good to know that about yourself.
Yeah. It would probably be fun to try sometime.
I know this group called Plant Parenthood.
Yeah.
They are always looking for maybe the next member, so I'm just saying, they cherry pick from the fan club. You might get lucky.
Maybe.
So I found it.
Oh.
Sorry for that long pause. The absence makes the heart grow fonder, though, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that really applies here. So the Funny Girls are at Laugh Fest on March 17th. And I just wanted to make sure that it was at Dog Story Theater because I, for a minute, thought that it might not be, but it is 7 to 9. And we are with Alexander Hamilton Fully Loaded, which is a Go Comedy group. So I am very excited to both watch it and be in it. So, yeah, if you don't have anything going on St. Patrick's Day, after you've eaten all of your corned beef, you can come on down to Dog Story Theater, 7 Jefferson Avenue, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
All right. And the final segment is called Just the Tip. And I was wondering if you could please offer one tip to aspiring comedians.
One tip. I think my one tip would be just to do it. Just to go for it. Just to try it. Like, if you are thinking of trying, I mean, this is kind of applies to everything in your life, but I think if we're talking specifically about comedy, it's like, if you're worried about being on stage in front of people, or if you're worried that you're not funny, just try it. Just do it. Just go for it. I very recently tried stand-up for the first time, and I was like, for a while, I'm never going to do that. That's scary. I have no desire. And then I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to try it. And it was fun, and it was fine, and I enjoyed it. So, like, I think if you are interested in something from a fan perspective and you have an inkling that you might want to give it a go, just do it. See what happens. You might surprise yourself.
Very good advice. Thank you for that, Kristen. And thank you for being my guest this evening. It brings us to the conclusion of this episode of the Grandcast. Thank you, Josh and Tom and Matt and Sean and whoever else might be out there. Mystery people. Is there anyone that you'd like to thank, Kristen?
I just like to thank everybody who listens to this, because that means you just listened to me talk for how long? 2 hours?
2 hours, yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It's an investment.
It's an investment, for sure.
Hopefully they got something out of it. I know I did. I appreciate your thoughtful responses.
I appreciate your well-planned-out questions.
All right.
Eyes in the sky, gazing far into the night, I raise my hand to the fire, but it's no use, 'cause you can't stop it from shining through. It's true, baby, let the light shine through. If you believe it's true, baby, won't you let the light shine through for you. We'll be right back. sky, gazing far into the night. I raise my hand to the fire, but it's no use, 'cause you can't stop it from shining through. It's true, baby, let the light shine through. If you believe it's true, baby, won't you let the light shine through?